Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, the Patrick and Jeremy Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We don't have a Republic anymore, but we still have the Republic Broadcasting Network. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send money, keep the Republic Broadcasting Network alive. What to do about the Republic? I don't know. Jeremy and I are going to figure that out in just a few moments. But before that, do you really want to eat kosher food? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Well, what do you do about it? You go to nationalbugle.com and you download the Koshertified app. And let's just say you don't know which way you want to go. Download the Koshertified app. You will learn all about the kosher question. You'll learn all about it. Then you'll be able to make a decision. And isn't that what life's all about? Decisions? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. But I know what this show is all about. We've got some articles we're going to discuss. We just had the our nasty politicians terminate the Republic yesterday. I think that's kind of a big deal. There's a lot of stuff going on. So, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Patrick, on another exciting episode, Friday edition. This is special for the viewers, Patrick, Jeremy, because you were out on an important mission. You left the underground cavern of Burbank Studios to brave the deadly.
Take a red-eye flight to Reagan National Airport.
It is called the deadly Capitol Hill protest, just like the Charlottesville is the deadly White Nationalist Charlottesville protests.
That's right. Well, deadly. Yeah. So who died?
Well, we had a young patriot die. Female Air Force veteran. Right?
You were in the Air Force?
I was. The better part of two decades. And well, let's just go to that. I got the article pulled up here. Under death of a patriot. Woman shot, this is according to 7newswsvn.com. Woman shot at Capitol was an Air Force veteran who backed Trump. The woman, who was fatally shot when a mob supporting President Donald Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol, was identified by authorities Thursday as Ashley Babbitt, whose family described her as an Air Force veteran and avid supporter of Trump in his efforts to stay in office. So I saw the video of it. My left-wing friends are posting this video on social media.
Video of it? Was it the video of her being shot to death?
Yes, the video of her being shot. There were protesters that were bearing down on the doors of this particular area in the Capitol, and she was just standing there with the protesters, and you see a hand come out with a handgun, and I believe it was a brown hand, mm-hmm. person, brown skin color, mm-hmm. Shot this lady. Now, the left wing is posting this, and they're saying stuff like, oh, look, you know, her blood is on Trump's hands, or her blood is on your hands, Trump supporter. That's the meme that's being put out that I'm seeing in the left wing. Not only my own social media circles, but in the mainstream social media. What are you seeing on this, Patrick?
So I've also seen a video that she posted maybe a year ago or so when they were having the caravans. She was talking about the caravans. She was talking about the need to build a wall. She lived in Southern California, I guess near San Diego. So she was close to the border. She talked about all the drugs. She could see the drugs coming over, and she was articulate and smart and engaged and seemed like a very legitimate patriot and was there. As the Republic, the nails were being put into the coffin of the Republic and was trying some desperate, heroic attempt to salvage the situation. You know, whether it was a little bit misguided or not, that's another issue. But I have no issue with her. I think she is a patriot and was in a completely desperate situation. How can we like have a Memorial Day or a Veterans Day where we honor the sacrifices of our military veterans and people who died in wars in order to establish the country, to keep us free? And then as they are terminating the Republic, you have a woman who herself is a 14-year veteran of the Air Force who makes a desperate attempt to try to salvage the Republic in its death throes, and you're going to call her anything but heroic? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's true. And another thing that's very disturbing that I've seen from the left wing is that I made a comment on social media that a sarcastic comment. Oh, yeah, this is a very good example of white privilege, right? A white woman being shot unarmed, who was not, you know, breaching anything. And this is an example of white privilege, right? Just shot down, and there's no protests in her name. There's no media outrage. And as a matter of fact, this is what's scary. The left wing is saying that she deserved it. That the specific comment that I got replied with was, this is white privilege being revoked. That should sink very deeply in everybody's mind and soul, you know?
Yeah. And you know, a point there are those who are going to say, well, she breached the Capitol and she wasn't supposed to come in. Of course, as I pointed out earlier on your show, last night's show, typically you would have people would be able to come in and observe this process. 4 years ago, when they were counting the electoral votes in the 2016 election, you had protesters. You have somebody like Medea Benjamin, who has made a career of protesting congressional proceedings because Congress used to be open to the public. They call it the People's House because the people got to go in. I've gone in. I watched Edmund Muskie's confirmation hearings when he was appointed Secretary of State, 79, I think. And so, you know, when you talk about these people having broken in, breached into the Congress, typically, historically, people have been allowed into Congress, right? I mean, the fact that nobody was allowed in there is, when you get down to it, it's as bizarre as not allowing observers at the elections. It's really that bizarre. In fact, and this is kind of strange, I have one contact who is a bit of a conspiracy theorist, you could say, and he was saying, how do we know that the congressmen were even in Congress? How do we know that that wasn't all computer generated? You know, the people went in, but how do we know the congressmen were ever in there? And it's like, he says, do you know anybody who saw the congressmen? It's like, no, I mean, I have no doubt the congressmen were there and they actually evacuated, but he's come up with this theory that they were never there in the first place. And I think it's a ridiculous theory, but the fact is, typically, you would have people in there. You'd have Medea Benjamin. You'd have people in there. And like I said, 4 years ago, during the electoral college count, you can go back and watch this on C-SPAN, they had protesters. So so there's something wrong with having the public kept out of the Capitol yesterday in the first place. That was wrong, and they've been kept out for about 9 months now. I was in Washington in the springtime when coronavirus was relatively new, and they wouldn't let me into my congressman's office because of coronavirus.
Well, and one of the commenters in my chat room from last night actually talked about protest groups are going to hold rallies across the country demanding an end to the fascist coup, which is what they're calling yesterday's event. a fascist coup following the attack of the U.S. Capitol by Trump supporters. So, I mean, this is going...
The Trump supporters were trying to commit a fascist coup?
That's the narrative being woven, yes, in the left. And that there's going to be protests by the left across the country that are going to talk about an end to this fascist coup. Trump supporters are all being, put into the same bin, if you will, of white supremacist, fascist people that do coups against the government. And I think we're going to see legislation by the end of this month. January 21st is going to be a very, very telling day when I think we're going to see a flurry of executive orders from the Biden and Harris regime that target us and that could actually target RBN. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, if you look historically, I think there's a lot of reason to be concerned about that. Presidents, since FDR in particular, FDR had his 100-day program. And so the first 100 days, during the first 100 days, and he was inaugurated back then, it was March 4th, but during his first 100 days, he introduced a ton of legislation. A lot of the groundwork for the New Deal was from the first 100 days. And this is typically when presidents really try to make their mark, is that first 100 days, because you're likely to have a honeymoon. They talk about the honeymoon. Trump never got a honeymoon, but an incoming president, there's usually goodwill from both sides of the aisle. And so they can get a lot done in that first 100 days. Now, of course, when Trump became president, immediately he was under siege. And they first went after General Flynn. They refused to they held back the confirmation hearings on his cabinet appointments. I mean, I did a study of that. There's no comparison. They never blocked or dragged their feet on cabinet appointments for any other president the way they did with Trump. They made sure he wouldn't have a honeymoon, wouldn't have a first 100 days. Biden's going to have a honeymoon. Mitch McConnell's in love with him. They're totally gay. And I think there is a big worry that he's going to get a lot through in the first 100 days. And so the question is, how radical will it be? And I think that Biden actually is going to try to I think he's actually going to try to govern more as a moderate or from the center, and it's going to anger the squad and others. But I could be wrong on that. That's just a gut feeling I have. And so it might not be he might not do the most radical things that we fear, but I think he's going to get probably be able to get a lot through Congress, a lot of legislation, and he'll probably issue a lot of executive orders.
Here's something else very scary that I've observed from reading different posts and observations of history. You know, George Bush the Younger, G-dubs, you know, he came into office after the 2000 Bush-Gore incident, where a lot of left-wingers were questioning the validity of George Bush's presidency in 2001. What happened directly after that? You know, we went to war in the Middle East, and we've been at war in the Middle East since. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of you had 9/11, definitely a false flag operation that was done by the Israeli Mossad and the American CIA and funded by Saudi Arabia. And so I almost wonder if in the early years of the early days or months of the Biden presidency in the year 2021 here, if we're going to see some sort of a war pop up that would rally the people together and legitimize the Biden-Harris presidency, just like George W. Bush. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's also a really good point to bring up. And you compared it to 20 years ago with George W. Bush, who people a lot of people really disliked him, and there were questions about his legitimacy because of the close election in Florida. And it's important to note that the Florida election, there it wasn't allegations of fraud. It was just very, very close, so that just ambiguities in votes, not fraudulent votes, but ambiguous votes were enough to decide the election. And of course, the other thing was George Bush wasn't particularly articulate. A lot of people thought, well, he's the kind of guy I'd go have a beer with, but he really didn't seem very smart. I despised George Bush, but not so much that I would have voted for Gore. I didn't vote for Gore. He wasn't my second choice. He wasn't my third. Well, it might have been my third choice. I don't know. But he wasn't my first choice. He wasn't my second choice. I wouldn't have voted for Gore. But for a while, I got into this mode where I think, well, I can probably ignore George Bush and just, 4 years from now, we'll see what happens. And I don't think George Bush he didn't really have a very strong honeymoon during those first 100 days. But once 9/11 happened, boy, oh boy, did the country rally around him, and he got through the Patriot Act. He created the Department of Homeland Security. He announced, David Frum, his Jewish speechwriter from Canada, wrote the Axis of Evil speech, and so he was able to launch these wars. So he got, did he get a lot done, and, we're still paying the price for it.
And in the wake of that war, in the wake of 9/11 and the push against Muslim terrorists, where America was allowed to be racist just for a while against these Muslims. And it was all supported by the left and the right wing. Could we see some type of war scenario break out? It could be with Iran, it could be China. I don't know. Most likely it would be with Iran. I don't see this going with China. So could we see an event where the left and the right, they're trying to rally them together, and then in the wake of that, they make it kosher certified, if you will, to be against right-wing people that would start coups against this government. That's where I think it's going. So in other words, just like they targeted Muslims 20 years ago, they could target right-wingers in America.
They could, yeah, they could. And I guess I didn't address your question exactly because, you referred to Bush, but starting a war in order to rally people around President Biden or President Chlamydia, if that comes to pass. And you look at, a recent personnel announcement was that Victoria Nuland, who was the architect of overthrowing the government of Ukraine and, the Ukrainian Civil War, and was trying to be an architect of the new Cold War with Russia, which threatens a hot war. She's being brought in, I think, as the number two person at the State Department. I'm not 100% sure if they know which job they're going to give her. It may be the number three person at the State Department, but she's going to be, I think it was the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, which I think is the number three person. And you're going to have Blinken at the top, and they were working together. The two of them worked together on Ukraine. And they are warmongering neocons. So, and Mark Dankoff, he texted me just earlier and it said that he was afraid that 2021 was going to see us launch a war on Iran. And you mentioned Iran. So that is probably the most likely target. It's probably something that everybody can agree on. But we are coming up on the break.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and check.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
And we are back. So, Jeremy, where are we going?
Well, this is my question to you. So, 20 years ago, you had the left wing who opposed GW and the questionable election and the Florida fiasco. You had the left wing very sympathetic to Muslims. And you had the system ready to wage war against the Muslim countries for the sake of Israel, specifically, you know, Iraq was at the top of the list. And so you had, as 9/11, the false flag event hit, then you had in the wake of that, the Patriot Act, drawing the left and the right into approving Americans giving up their rights in order to control Muslim terrorism in the U.S., you had the Patriot Act, and it kind of brought the left. It was an attempt to bring the left and the right together against a common enemy, the Muslims, and to justify this war that's been going on for just about 20 years now. So my question to you, and this is a question, is, you know, with the right wing today being sympathetic to Iran, sympathetic to Russia and China, if a war with any of these countries, specifically Iran, broke out, could they try to bring the left and the right together to generate support for targeting right wingers in America who would be sympathetic toward not going to war with Iran, mm-hmm. toward non-interventionalism, just like they did 20 years ago. And you're going to have a Patriot Act basically for right-wingers. And as my commenter in the text last night talked about, the right-wing coup or the fascist coup that happened in the White House, or not the White House, but the on Capitol Hill. Could we see that? That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, and it would probably take a false flag to do it. I mean, Iran doesn't really go around targeting Americans and that. It would probably take a false flag.
But you do have the Iranians apparently seized a South Korean vessel. And I heard this on RBN today.
Okay, well, I don't know about that. And that would be interesting. The current government of South Korea is a government that doesn't have much time left, and they don't have, you can't be reelected president of South Korea. So this current president, Moon Jae-in, only has maybe a year left in his term. And he's desperately wanted to have some sort of reconciliation with North Korea. North Korea and Iran have a relatively close relationship. North Korea is very, very isolated, but it's got certain relationship with Iran. And so I don't know about that. But I was talking to one of my, I'm trying to, I don't know if this is the best term, Millicon friend, a retired colonel friend of mine, who we're talking about what happened yesterday at Capitol Hill. And of course, he's pro-Trump. He thinks we're headed towards, well, we're communism. We're going to be Venezuela. So he's very, I guess you would say, white positive in Jason No White Guilt's terms. And yet, because he was in the military and spent an entire career in the military preparing for war against Iran and against China and against Russia, he is just dead set that these are our enemies. I mean, even though he can admit that we've got a Jewish ruling class, but forget about the Jewish ruling class. We've got, I mean, Putin. And I said, well, actually, I admire Putin. I think he's the greatest statesman of the 20th century. And, oh, my God, did he freak out. He said, Putin is not your friend. I said, well, doesn't matter. He's my friend. But, I mean, what's he doing to me? What harm is he doing to me? Oh, so many things. I wouldn't even be able to tell you. It would take too long. I said, okay, well, just how about one thing? He couldn't name a single thing that Putin has done to me. He said, well, he's sowing discord and disunity. And it's like, well, are you really trying to you just said that you hope all liberals practice abortion so that there won't be any more liberals, right? I mean, you want mandatory abortion for liberals. You really want unity? I mean, so these people can't even explain their hostility towards Russia, and I don't think they really understand their hostility towards Iran or China either. And so it is. It is a big risk because that would unify. It would bring in these neocons who still think of themselves as on the right and conservatives, and a lot of ex-military people, and it would vilify us. So it's a very legitimate worry.
And the article that I sent you just now on CNN. Armed Iranian troops boarded South Korean tanker, the ship's owner says. And this was updated on January 5th.
All right, well, I'll take a look at that in the break, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we are back. So I've had a moment to glimpse at this article. So why don't you summarize it for us? What's going on with South Korea and Iran?
Well, apparently the owner of a South Korean flag tanker, which was seized by Iran in the Persian Gulf on Monday, has described how armed soldiers boarded the vessel. And I guess South Korea has deployed more vessels in the area in response to this, and I can see the beginnings of the war drums being beaten towards Iran, and it would work perfectly in our scenarios that we were describing before the break of bringing the American people together in a war scenario. And I think that they are brazen enough to do war with Iran under Biden, not with China or Russia, but definitely with Iran. And that they see this as a way to, one, bring the middle of the road, left and right, together, and two, to demonize the far right, who are non-interventionists and that believe that we should not engage in these Middle Eastern wars, and that actually a lot of us on the far right are actually pro-Iranian in the sense that Iran is a sovereign country and there's no need for any aggressions to them when they've done nothing to America, especially when you put that in context of Saudi Arabia funded 9/11 Saudi Arabia is conducting genocide against the Yemenis, and Iran's not doing any of these things.
Yeah, and then, of course, Israel. I mean, it's all about Israel when you get down to it.
Yep. And so they could easily both bring the left and the right together and demonize the far right for any support of leaving Iran alone. Well, let me get your take on it.
Yeah. So from your analysis of the American point of view of this, I think is correct. With South Korea, you know, reading the article, it seems that Iran actually does have a gripe against South Korea. If South Korea has frozen $7 billion worth of Iranian funds that were in South Korean banks a few years ago. And that would have been, it would have had to do with the North Korean embargo. So the United States, you know, and more recently John Bolton and Mike Pompeo have prevented a peace treaty and any kind of you know, improved relations between North and South Korea. And part of this is these sanction regimes that they have on North Korea. They also have sanction regimes on Iran, and North Korea and Iran trade with each other. And so Moon Jae-in, who is the president of South Korea, politics in South Korea is rough. And you've got South Korea is very divided between hawks who just want to basically would like to overrun North Korea, and doves who would like some sort of reconciliation with North Korea. And Moon Jae-in is very much a dove, but he's got half of, they have elections, and half of his country would like to throw him under the bus. And you know one thing in South Korea, you know what happens to South Korean presidents when they retire?
No, what is that?
They usually wind up in monasteries, prison, or maybe pushed off a cliff. It's not a very good career as an ex-president of South Korea. They're not very nice. They hold their presidents accountable and then some. But as interesting as South Korea-Iran relations are, we've got some other material we've got to cover. Like, how about what's going to happen to our country?
The response to the Biden-Harris presidency, I've been saying for weeks and maybe even a month or so now, is that secession is in the air. And what does that look like? I think we need to get rid of the Hollywood image of secession, of the old Civil War era movies, and think about, how about Mississippi, that just refuses to go along with a national lockdown? How about Texas, that has been talking about secession for years now, well, even over a decade? And that gets into the article that I sent you on Texas. I need to pull that up now. But first of all, what do you think about secession and the very looks of it? How do you think, with 18 states joining the Texas lawsuit in the election fraud, do you think a portion of these states are going to resist the Biden-Harris presidency?
Yeah. And so secession means actually leaving the union to set up a new country. And I think people are talking about secession partly because they know the word, they know the concept. And of course, the Civil War, which was about secession, still maintains a large, large number of pages in high school textbooks and history textbooks. So people are aware of it. I've been talking about nullification, which is not as extreme of a measure. But it only occupies maybe a page or two in a high school textbook, the nullification crisis of 1831-32. And that was where South Carolina, they refused to enforce the Tariff Act. And they said, they declared they didn't have to because their laws are sovereign, and their laws trump federal laws, especially if the federal laws are unconstitutional, but they were asserting their sovereignty. within the Union, but their sovereignty within the Union. And I think that's the type of thing, even if they're not going to use the word nullification, that's the type of thing we're very likely to see where, because you've already had it in the sanctuary cities. Oh, we're not going to enforce immigration laws. And so I think you are going to see Mississippi or Florida or some other state say, we're not going to enforce the national mask mandate. I think, and you might see it very, very soon, because some of these, I think a lot of Biden's 100-day, you know, his first 100-day program is going to be aimed at whooping the coronavirus through pretty harsh measures. So you're likely to see that. Secession means something really special, and some states maybe even have a particular, even a stronger case than others. So what states are we talking about?
Well, I pulled up a Texas article, and first of all, let me redefine. Well, secession being defined in the terms that we're talking about is that you just described are states that do not comply with the federal government. So it's not technically a secession from the Union historically. It's just states that are going to do their own thing, kind of like how under Trump, each state was allowed to implement what measures they saw fit to control the so-called virus pandemic. And I think that the states are just going to continue on like that and ignore the national mandates. That's what I think we're talking about. So maybe we don't want to use the word secession. You know, maybe there's a better word.
Well, that's why I've been saying nullification, which nullification. I pluck it from a history book, basically. There may be a better word than that.
I mean, that's a good word, so nullification. But the mainstream articles that we're talking about use the word secession. But this is in Texas Monthly, and it's titled, We Need to Talk About Secession. And it goes through in the article, December 29th, 2020 marked the 175th anniversary of the United States annexation of the Republic of Texas. It's an occasion that the Texans seem to have mixed feelings about. Texans love their country, as many other Americans. On the other hand, the nostalgia for the Republic's decade of independence is ingrained in the Texas character. Talk of secession seems to be on the rise during this politically fraught time, after the presidential election was called for Joe Biden. And this is written in December 29th, by the way, 2020. Texas Congressman Randy Weber posted a pro-secession meme on his Facebook page, and State Representative Kyle Biederman threatened to file legislation that would give Texans the opportunity to vote on a secession referendum. A pair of recently published books offer sharp insights into what we should make of this contradiction. So here's the point that I wanted to bring out from the article before we go on, and just, I don't want to bore the audience reading this verbatim. The thought of a Biden and Harris presidency is pushing the state into doing these official actions. You know, they do not want to go along with it. I've not heard any official statements from the other states that joined the Texas lawsuit, but I'm asking you as a political scientist and analysis, you know, what could this look like? More than just resistance to coronavirus, could we see withholding federal funds from these states? Could that be the response? What would the response be to the federal government?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the response that Trump talked about with regards to the sanctuary cities and sanctuary states to withhold federal dollars. It never happened, but that is the type of thing that could happen. And in the American federal government, the flow of money goes from taxpayers to various levels of government, but a whole bunch goes to the federal government. And then the federal government issues grants to states and municipalities. So state governments aren't sending money to Washington. Now, taxpayers in the states are, but the governments aren't. In terms of government-to-government money, it's going from the federal government to the state governments. In the old Soviet Union, it actually went the other way. The Republican governments would send money to the Union government in Moscow. They would collect the taxes and then send them on. And this was one of the things that helped the disintegrationist forces in the Soviet Union break it up. And you know, you saw the Soviet Union break up. There was secession. It was led by these three Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, they had a 20-year period of independence between the two world wars, and they remembered that. Texas has its own. It had its period of, what was it, 9 years? They were independent from Mexico in 1836, and did they join the Union in 1845? And they joined via a treaty. They were annexed, but it was via a treaty, and they do explicitly, I believe, they explicitly have the right to secede. You know, the right of other states to secede, you know, was tested in the Civil War. But then you have another state, Hawaii, for instance. It was an independent kingdom, internationally recognized. It exchanged ambassadors with Britain and other countries. And then it was annexed, really kind of illegally, in 1898. And there are people, like, I don't think, like, Hawaii is a blue state nowadays, and I don't know, but there always have been in Hawaii. There's always been an independence movement in Hawaii. And you could see independence movements, secession movements gathering steam, and it might seem far-fetched now, and it was far-fetched a year ago or so. But I don't know if it's far-fetched now, it's the type of thing that could happen. They could pick up steam.
Yep, definitely could. And I just think that the left has overplayed their hand, the Jewish-dominated yes. elites, and they're going, you know, they may have thought that they've squashed this Patriot Rebellion, and I guess that's what that was yesterday, mm-hmm. was the over a million Trump supporters.
That's what it felt like.
Public. Yeah.
That's what it felt. There was a euphoria there. I mean, yeah. I said people watching this from their homes maybe had a better bird's eye view than the people who were there, and they did. But what the people who were there experienced that you couldn't experience, well, maybe you could experience it at home, but you really experienced it there, was this euphoria that, wow, you know, this, you could run on the Capitol grounds, and they weren't going to do anything. You could do whatever. I don't know. You should be able to run on the Capitol grounds. I remember being on a protest at the Capitol grounds 40 years ago, running around with a flag. It might have even been a rainbow flag. It wasn't gay back then. It was some sort of Earth Day celebration or something. I can't remember. But no, there was a euphoria.
Well,
sorry, did I distract from your point?
No, you actually added to it, because I thought of more things. Since we're comparing the rally yesterday to Charlottesville, let's even more so delve into that. So the Charlottesville rally was many, many, many right-wingers from many corners of the right wing, from regular American patriots to Southern nationalists to white nationalists. There were some Klansmen there, whatever. There were many people who gathered at Charlottesville. And it was in the number of maybe, what, a few thousand? I don't know exactly what the number was there. But I think the left was taken aback by the number of people that were willing to come together and protest the destruction of our Southern monuments. And, you know, with the small group of people saying, you know, Jews will not replace us. And so there was that. There was that. And then what happened? They subverted it. They sent in Antifa. They pulled a false flag, and they used that event to demonize. Well, what happened? What was the response? Well, 3.5 years later, the response went from a few thousand protesters to over a million protesters. So I'm making the point that the rally that we saw yesterday was Charlottesville amplified. It was adding even more people, even more patriots, and even more people that have been pushed into our corner all come together yesterday. And yes, they subverted it, but they didn't kill it. They didn't kill it. It's still there. The people are still feeling the sentiment. The people know that there was something wrong about the infiltrators in Capitol Hill. The people know that they were stifled yesterday. Mm-hmm. What's that going to create?
Yeah.
If Charlottesville was a few thousand that turned into a million, over a million, what's the next protest going to look like?
That's right. Well, we'll dissect that on the other side of the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, we're back, and so you made the point that Charlottesville, I don't know, the rally participants, was it even greater than 1,000? It was less than 1,000? I don't know, but you're talking about probably three orders of magnitude difference, because you had maybe, if you had close to 1,000 at Charlottesville, you had close to 1,000,000 in Washington. But also, Charlottesville was over Confederate monuments, and it's important to some people, but very few people in the country, really had that much of a stake in Confederate monuments. But remember, you had many tens of millions, 75 million or whatever, people who had voted for Donald Trump, most of whom believed the election was stolen. And besides, it's not just about Trump. If they can steal Trump's election, what does that mean? I've heard, you know, although I independently thought of, you know, this is the Republic, it's all about the Republic. Lots of other people independently reached the same conclusion. Why? Because it's true. It is about the Republic. And so everybody's, so many people are thinking this. And so not only are we talking about many, many more people participating, but we're talking about many, many people really relating to it and relating to it intensely. And I don't know if they can vilify 1,000 times more people, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to, it's 2.0. Is it 2.0 or is it 1,000.0? Because they're trying to vilify 1,000 times more people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's what we've predicted on this show and on my show, is that, you know, the Jewish dominated elite, in an attempt to squash the right wing, the very small amount of right wingers that are calling out Jewish power, in an attempt to squash them, they have pushed the entire right wing that normally wouldn't talk about Jewish power, they've pushed them into our court.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so, you know, what's the next protest going to look like? There is going to be another one, you can bet. And it's going to be even greater than the one yesterday.
Yeah. And you think of what 2 years ago we were talking about a lot was the Yellow Jacket movement in France. And those were just regular, normal people who were mad about a gasoline tax. But the gasoline tax, maybe the gasoline tax was just more of a proxy for being mad about immigration, which is a real thing that's going on. You know, you talk about the Yellow Jacket movement, Brexit, Trump's election, now the stolen election, and things really are reaching a crescendo. What's going to happen? We only have about 90 seconds left. So, Jeremy, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen is that the American patriots on the right are going to join us, the American patriots on RBN, those of us that are openly talking about Jewish power. I have been sharing Stormer articles with my normie friends and family, and they are listening to me. People that normally wouldn't before are listening to me for direction. What's going to happen is a huge movement of the right wing to come together and push against this Biden-Harris Bolshevik regime.
Mm. Yeah. You know, so I mentioned talking to my friend who was saying Putin's the enemy. But of course, it makes no sense. And he wasn't able to list a single example. In the same way, you know, you'll have a deflection towards China, but then you can bring up, well, is Zuckerberg China? Is, you know, Andy Lack at NBC China? Mark Zuckerberg, you know, you can list all these names. They're not Chinese. And they really have overplayed their hand. And it's getting to the point where the only way to explain things in a way that makes any sense is to talk about the Jewish power. And the Jewish power doesn't, it's not just that it makes any sense, it makes a lot of sense. And it's unavoidable. But that's all the time we have for today, so thank you so much for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy, RBN.
And I'll be back again Monday with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.